Rupture avec Ziad Naoufal sur 96.2 FM.
Bonsoir à tous et à toutes, 20h passées de quelques secondes dans les studios de Radio Liban 96.2 FM. Vous écoutez Rupture tous les lundis, vendredis et samedis entre 20h et 21h. Et comme c'est notre coutume, les lundis, ce soir on accueille non pas un invité mais deux invités dans les studios de Radio Liban 96.2 FM. Le musicien d'électronique End User, alias Len Standafer, qui était en concert il y a deux jours de cela dans le cadre de la Mad Parade à Farah, ainsi que le producteur Nicolas Chevreux, qui sont là donc pour nous parler de leur expérience libanaise, de leur concert d'il y a quelques jours, et aussi de leurs activités de musicien et de producteur respectivement. Pour commencer cette émission, voici un morceau de End User, qui est tiré d'un disque que j'affectionne particulièrement. On va balancer le morceau tout de suite. End of a Beginning, the End User, tiré de l'album Calling All Vultures. It's a pleasure to welcome in the studios of Radio Lebanon tonight, musician and user, Lynn Standaffer. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, how are you?
It's a pleasure to have you here with us tonight, as well as producer Nicolas Chevreux. Hello, hi. Nicolas.
Good evening.
It's a pleasure to have you with us in the studios of Radio Lebanon tonight. We started tonight's program with a track by End User, taken from the album Calling the Vultures, and not All Vultures. Sorry for that small mistake.
Don't worry about it. It's good.
You're here for a very specific occasion. You were playing live 2 days ago in a very large electronic festival or celebration called Mad Parade 2. I had not heard of the music of End User's music before this, before a few months ago when Harry started telling me End User is coming, and there was a big buzz around it, and finally I listened to some of your tracks and I convinced Harry to let me invite you in this studio, and it's a pleasure to have you here with us tonight.
Thanks.
Tell me, what brought you to these shores?
Well, I don't know, I guess I've been doing this for a while, mostly in Europe, and the opportunity came up to come here with, you know, for the Mad Parade party. And when I first heard about, you know, coming to Beirut to do this, I was pretty, you know, shocked, like, wow, that sounds pretty unique. So sort of jumped on the opportunity, I guess. And I don't know, it's really been amazing. I can't say how, I don't know, the crowd has been one of the best I've ever played for. And, you know, it's been really interesting and unique, I guess, is what I can say.
For our listeners who are not familiar with you and with your music, although we've been playing End User songs for the past a few weeks here in Radio Lebanon, You are considered nowadays as one of the most active, talented breakcore and drum and bass producers. You're based in the USA.
I recently moved to Belgium.
Okay.
Yeah. So
you're originally American. Recently moved to Belgium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And you've worked with different producers, different artists from genres beyond the realm of electronica. Mm-hmm. From looking at your CV, I see names such as Bill Laswell, such as Jarbo, the former singer with the Swans.
Yeah.
Actually, we shouldn't say former anymore because I think that they're reuniting.
They are. I'm not sure if she's a part of it now.
Yeah, actually, I think it should be
she's
former.
She's not in the reunion.
She's not in it? Oh, yeah, because that's a bummer. But yeah, I love her stuff. It's some of those people, like, I've been listening to my whole life, and just having the opportunity to work with them. You know, as I started in electronic music, you know, doing records and things, and I somehow came back to everything that influenced me. So it's cool to work with all those people. So.
You don't find any difficulty whatsoever in moving from one genre to the other, from delving into electronica, into drum and bass, into breakcore?
No, I mean, the only thing that I think to me, electronic music is very, you know, the attitude and sort of the emotion that goes into it. It could be similar to maybe rock music or something, but I think it's a fine line when I mix the two. For instance, we just did the Blood of Heroes album with Bill Laswell and Justin Broderick, and I really am hesitant to get into, like, a lot of electronic-based rock stuff, because I think if it's done wrong, it just sounds cheesy, you know what I mean? So it's like, to me, it's really important to take really good care and, you know, having that balance and maintaining between electronic and the organic sounds and not having it be too processed and too... you know, synthetic. I'm not a big fan of that. So,
from listening to the few tracks that Hadi passed on to me recently, I could tell that there is a very I don't know if I could call it organic. There is a very emotional, organic element in your electronic productions, which puts them definitely away, in my opinion, from what is usually done in that genre, where, especially in the case of breakcore, in the case of drum and bass, it's very, I'm not going to say monotonous, but it's very driven.
Uh-huh.
And you get the feeling that the song will start here and will end there, and it will take you to that place. In your case, it's very difficult to know what's going to happen, where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very emotional, again, to use the word or misuse the word.
Sure.
Is this something that you look for, or is it something that you've arrived at?
Well, I think it's just natural to me, because I've been playing music, different instruments and things, my entire life, and I'm a big fan of just music, of good songs, you know what I mean? And a lot of electronic stuff I really can't get into, basically for that the reason you just said, you know what I mean? A lot of things are really monotonous, they're just, you know, predictable, repetitive and sharp, and they serve a purpose in a dance floor, in a club or something like that, which is great. But most of the music that I make isn't really even
dance floor oriented,
you know what I mean?
Necessarily.
Like, so it's when I play a live set, even, it's like I don't even play, I probably play 30% of the tunes that I've done, just because a lot of people don't want to hear some of the slower, more ambient or just like chilled out kind of stuff that I've done. So not in those dance floor, you know, kind of clubs and things like that. So
a case in point would be the track that we started tonight's program with, which is a track that alternates between fast BT, fast-paced segments and more string-oriented. I'm going to call them string-oriented. Sure. I hope you won't throw something at me.
No. There's a window in the way. So.
That's exactly why I'm scared. So this would be a good illustration of you being able to bring together different tendencies. Mm-hmm. In a very harmonious manner. We'll have the occasion to listen to more of you later on during this program, since you will be gracing us with a with a live performance towards the end of this program.
Yes.
And and we'll talk some more, but I want to jump on to Nicholas, whose voice we haven't heard much tonight.
I'm still here.
Nicholas, you're also based in Europe.
Yeah, I'm based in Berlin.
You're based in Berlin, and you've been running the notorious Ad Nauseam label from Berlin, with more than 130 releases under your helm.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your own experience as a producer and how you've come about to the realm of production and releasing electronic music. I think you've started as a radio DJ.
More or less, it's been a very long path. I started as a club DJ, actually, when I was a teenager, like a late teenager in the mid-90s. And then I had a radio show, a weekly radio show also in my college radio. I was based in France back then. And from there on, I was working for like several magazines, print and online. So it was I've been active promoting music for a long time, like for best part of the last 15 years.
One of those most known magazines is something called Recycle Your Ears.
That was the most successful one. Yeah. That was a web magazine I had between 97, 2001, something like that, maybe 2002. And at one point, I wanted to do a bit more than that. I had met a lot of musicians, a lot of people who I thought deserved more recognition and that they were having. So I just gathered a few friends and decided to bring out a compilation, which was the beginning of Ad Nauseam. It started up more or less as a one-off hobby and ended up being like a professional label with more than 130 releases.
130 releases, which is very impressive in this day and age. It's even more impressive in the case of electronic music, which is a very productive and prolific genre.
It's a lot of work, and I'm sure that some label are releasing a lot more than I am, but I don't always see Ad Nauseam as a purely electronic label, since the scope of the label is very wide. So it takes it takes a lot of energy to release a lot of albums rather than just purpose-driven dance floor material of the kind that Lynn was mentioning earlier.
It's in your case, your label has been branching into different genres. You do not only drum and bass and breakcore of the end user type, but you also do IDM.
I've done a lot.
You do dubstep.
There's been some jazz and some metal on the label. So
I've asked you to bring some of your own releases tonight with you to the program, so we can listen to some of the stuff that Ad Nauseam has been releasing over the years. Mm-hmm. If you'd like, we can listen to a track now and go back and talk some more in a few moments. Would you like to,
sure,
to tell us what you've chosen for us?
The first track is a track by an American artist called Sidatakil. The track is called You Are Mine. It's the opening track from an album released 4 years ago, called Valentine. And I think Sidatakil, a bit like an user, is a very good example how you can write songs even though you use the tools of dance floor material. So it's electronic music, but it's a song, and it's called You Are Mine by Sidatakil. Thank you.
Ben Standafer, a.k.a. End User, live in the studios of Radio Lebanon tonight for an interview plus a live performance, as well as Nicolas Chevreux, the owner of the label Ad Nauseam, a very famous label in the world of electronic music nowadays. Lynn, you're referred to in most of the online material that I've researched when my friends from Acousmatic told me about your concert. You're referred to as a breakcore and drum and bass producer. Okay. Do you find that these technical appellations, technical words, restrict you in a certain way? Do you mind being labeled as those two genres? Do you feel that it's an issue to be labeled as something, especially in the case of someone like you who's been known to delve into different genres?
Personally, I don't mind it at all. It's the only thing I could say against it is if maybe somebody has heard something in the world of breakcore that to them is too spastic and too chaotic, and you know, then they see something else that's also labeled that same genre and they dismiss it without even listening to it or giving it, you know, a chance. You know, that's sort of a danger when, you know, when those labels are tagged. But you know, to me it really doesn't matter because I'm gonna do what I do and I don't see it bothering me at all. And it doesn't affect what I create in any way, so.
Do you ever get accused by purists of not respecting the breakcore or the drum and bass genre? Has Nicolas ever come to you and told you this is not breakcore enough?
Maybe in the beginning.
Maybe too breakcore. Sure.
Not him. He never said that. But yeah. But yeah, it's people are purists everywhere. Drum and bass people are definitely that way. So they can say whatever they want. It doesn't matter.
I find it very surprising that the drum and bass people would be the most puristic ones, because in the case of a subgenre, like, well, at the beginning of dubstep was considered a subgenre of drum and bass, more or less. And I find that nowadays a genre like dubstep is one of the most eclectic electronic genres that are present in the field of production, and it's a genre that goes in all directions simultaneously over the years and develops a lot. So I always find it surprising that listeners of electronic music nowadays, listeners of dubstep, for instance, of drum and bass, can find it normal to tag X artist or Y artist and go, well, no, this is not dubstep enough, this is not drum and bass enough.
Yeah, well, it's,
I think it's the scene, and then the more variation you will have, but also the more fruitless debates you'll have about what is true, what is not true, and which direction you should be.
Fruitless, and, absolutely. Yeah.
And in the case of drum and bass or dubstep, which are pretty successful genres, you get a lot of that. While in smaller scenes, such as the breakcore one, since more or less every artist is in his own variation of the genre, and people listen to it all because there is not so much to listen to, people will be generally speaking more tolerant, I think.
In the case of a label such as Ad Nauseam, for example, it seems to me, from listening to some of your records, to the track that you've just played for us, which has a tinge of Oriental percussion, world music oriented percussion, it seems to me that Ad Nauseam is not a label that follows fashions or trends. It's a label that releases what it likes, what it proposes to likes to its listeners. Have you ever wanted to follow a certain trend? Have you ever been forced to follow a certain trend, or have you ever been able to do things your own way?
I've always been able to do things more or less my own way, because
without any problems of a financial nature.
It's a double-edged sword, somewhat, because since Anoisium is a label for underground electronic music, it's obviously not a huge financial operation. I'm not going to get rich out of it, and therefore I'm not driven by big trends. It's not like I'm risking so much that I have to follow the hype. On the other side, it also means that releasing something which is totally out of the map, even for the people that are following Anoisium, might be tricky. It doesn't force me at all in my artistic choices. I'm not jumping from one trend to the other, so I'm pretty free. On the other hand, it's true that some stuff is more difficult to market than other. So this...
you adopt a different attitude in this case.
No, I'd say it's... The whole trends and hype and, for example, the birth of dubstep and whatever is definitely not directing the direction to which I go, but it might be closing some past doors because people move on and I might not be able always to bring an artist to the audience he would deserve because this audience has moved to something else.
Do you feel that dubstep has created more problems than it has solved any?
I think it's not really. It's a very successful genre and it's bringing a lot of young people to electronic music. And I think that, for example, dubstep parties in Berlin, where I am, have a younger average age than drum and bass party. So if it's a way to make young people discover interesting material, then it's a good thing. So there is a lot of good stuff in that genre, there is a lot of bad stuff, but if it's a reason for young people to listen to new good music, then they should.
Then you're all for it.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I suggest that we, because I want to take advantage of the fact that you're here and you have this wonderful red laptop next to you, could we listen to another track of the Ad Nauseam roster of artists?
Definitely. So the first track was something from 2005, and we're now going to something a lot more recent, a record released a couple of months ago by a Berlin artist called Heck. And while we were speaking of dubstep, for example, this is a track which has been associated with that sound, even though, well, we can debate for hours whether it's dubstep or not. The track is called Sura. It's taken from a record of the same name by Heck, and starting now. We'll be right back.
Thank you.